We are back here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Cullen Scoot Steele, running master controls, and happy to welcome in now the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, to the radio huddle. How things going out in California, Mike?
Well, Steve, it hasn't changed much, my friend. good to talk to you guys. No, things are great. I mean, good practice today. Probably, if not, it was the longest and probably most challenging just from a length standpoint. You could kind of, they'll start tapering off tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, for the game on Sunday. But it was a very, very solid practice today, and what I believe is day 16 of practices. And so, yeah, I think they're kind of, you know, they've come to the realization the whole San Francisco thing was kind of a letdown.
Right.
So it was a letdown for me, Hoss. I wanted to go
we were counting on you.
I know. I was so disappointed. I said, man, I go to 49ers of all times to get all hurt and beat up. And then, you know, I wanted to go see my granddaughters and go out to dinner and all that. But, you know, live to fight another day or go on. But Hoss, I just thought it'd be a great measuring stick, considering, boy, I know how you prepare for a game like I do. And you know how we want to be a top 10 offense and defense? Well, they're basically like top five in a number of categories, whether it's scoring, or opponent scoring average, you know, scoring 29 points a game, giving up 17 points a game. You look at total offense, you know, they're second in the league, total defense, rushing defense. It's just on and on. And a lot like us, we were a plus 11, they were a plus 10. So I just thought it would be a good measuring stick. But obviously, because on Sunday night, you know how the starters, it's still a preseason game. You might get a series, maybe two. You look, they're dealing with injuries. Fred Warner, Christian McCaffrey. You know, we had a dozen injuries. They had, what, two dozen, 24 but injuries. But being healthy and just being able to practice against them, that's why it was so disappointing, I should say, because I kind of to see where we're at. But it seems like Dennis Allen realizes we still can get a lot of quality work done out here. So I'm kind of intrigued what's going to come about on Sunday night. But then still the backup quarterback battle. I mean, I'm looking at Derek Carr. What was he, like 11-11 in a practice session? And then you look at Jake Haener versus Spencer Rattler. What's going to come about with that? I think that's a ongoing process. But what is your take? And the last thing I want you to your opinion on this, Foster Moreau. You know, here you got the tight end position who's so important. It was either, I don't think it was today, it might have been yesterday, where I was reading like Foster Moreau might have maybe had one of his best practices in a Saints uniform as far as being that pass receiving tight end.
Yeah, I mean he did, and there's opportunity there. That tight end room. You know, Mason Fairchild, who they signed, released, signed again. Kevin Rader, who they signed. Michael Jacobson, Dallin Holker. You know, I mean, I guess you kind of technically would throw Taysom in there. But, yeah, I mean, he's in his sixth year out of LSU, came from to the Saints from Las Vegas with Derek Carr, who, you know, likes to throw to his tight ends. And so I think they are kind of looking, because we do expect and hope that Juwan Johnson We'll be back, but I think they're still kind of tinkering in that room anyway, and that Foster will kind of had his first touchdown last year, but maybe be more. And it's hard to really say, do we see it this offense, from a blocking tight end to a receiving tight end. But I would agree that this week has been outstanding for him. The quarterback two battle is, man, it is what it is. Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler probably are the most vocal, competitive group out there. Like, they understand when it's team reps and they do well, it's huge. They're excited. Man, they're just kind of, they're getting their team up. They're, you know, if they're with the twos or the threes, whatever it is. But you can feel the Haener-Rattler battle competitive out there. And that's good, right? I mean, so I felt like, early in camp, this was kind of Jake Haener's job to lose, because at that point they had Nathan Peterman here as well. Spencer was a fifth-round pick, right? I mean, he looked like it early in camp, and I feel like he has benefited from just reps, and these practices, they get so much accomplished in two and a half hours. And so it's closer, but I still think just because of he's been in the system, been in with the team, that they have similar playmaking skill sets that if Derek Carr went out tomorrow, who would you want in? I would probably say Jake Haener, but it's very close in that battle. And finally, as we're doing this in reverse order, I think it's interesting to see, the San Francisco, you would have been great just to hit somebody else. I mean, since July 24th, right? But I do think it now impacts preseason two, the game where we weren't 100% sure as we sat here last week pre-Arizona if we'd see Derek Carr. Not only did we see him Saturday, couple of series, we're probably going to see him, Sunday as well, as playing with the ones, getting that offensive line work. So it's the, you can say six half dozen another didn't have the two practices with San Francisco. That would have been a good measuring stick, even though it's, a lot of backups and they're banged up and they don't want to jeopardize anything more. But it is a good measuring stick, and you would just hit somebody else. The benefactor of that is that a lot of these guys, since they're not doing it in practice, will play Sunday. And I will say just and finally, that's what you said about Dennis Allen. He is trying to make these practices today, yesterday, tomorrow, I feel, as much as a game feel as possible. Referees, the red zone, goal line, whatever it is, it needs to feel as close as you can to what it might have been like had San Francisco be here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hoss, twofold, and Steve, I think I've told you this, is that I know Derek Carr is playing Sunday night. Okay, well, why do you say that, Bobby? Okay, because still, it's all about confidence, and it is a new offense. So you just want to be able to feel good about yourself. Like, for instance, in practice, when he went 11 for 11. Can you imagine in a game, what if he went 6 for 6 or something, or 5 for 5? The reason why I bring that up, because you look in the Cardinals game, now it was only, he had 6 pass attempts, but he only completed 2 compared to what he did last season. In his first preseason game last season, he was 6 for 8 for 70 yards and a touchdown. Believe you me, Hoss, I've been there, and you feel good when you drive the team down. Even, it doesn't necessarily even have to be a touchdown, even if it's a field goal. And, they didn't go 3 and out the first time. Then the second time, they went 3 and out. So you look at the limited plays. That's why I say for sure Derek Carr's playing against the 49ers just based on what happened against the Cardinals and it being a new offense.
Right. And so here's my question for you, because you can answer this. So I do agree. I think that if, as he did in that first preseason, he kind of marched him down, you felt good. And then I think that gives him the confidence into what he's doing for the rest of the preseason and probably those 10 days prior to the opener. But by the Tennessee game, I think he's thrown away, right? It's fresh. Yeah. It's that. I don't think there's any hangover. You utilize that confidence for the preseason and for camp and that week prior to the opener, and then it's done, right?
Yeah, it's done. It's a new season. That just short term and how you build your confidence. And also, I can tell you this, because you got to flush it. So let's say he go against the 49ers, because you don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. I think he's going to have success, but what if he doesn't? Okay, and if he doesn't have even success against the Titans, you'd be like, damn.
Well, do you think he plays against the Titans?
If you don't do nothing against the 49ers. Because it's like, because they have a, because
if he goes in and if he plays one series and they drive for a field goal, then we're good.
No, because it's a mini bye. You're not playing the following weekend. Just because, I'm telling you, from a mental perspective, you always want to feel good about yourself. But let's say, like you were saying, that could happen. You have a series or two against the 49ers and it goes well. Then, yeah, you probably don't play against the Titans. Let's say it doesn't go well. But then we still are not going to play you against the Titans. We want you to be 100%. But let's say he would play. No matter positive or negative, you know the one thing that in the back of the quarterback's mind, and this is what he's thinking, not necessarily the whole offensive unit, because you have to come together and have confidence, but they don't game plan. You're not really game planning to beat the 49ers or the Titans, like you would, like against Carolina. No, that's when you don't want to suck. Then you might go, if you don't play well and you have a game plan to really take it to Carolina and it doesn't work, then you're tossing and turning that Sunday night, and then you have cold sweats, and you're waking up that Monday morning. It's like, man, boy, look, now we got to go to Dallas and stuff. So I'll tell you, that's one thing, positive or negative. Whatever happens against San Fran, now Arizona, that's water under the bridge. But against San Fran or the Titans, is that positive or negative, we're not really game planning to beat them. You understand what I'm saying, Hoss? Yeah.
To me, the end doesn't justify the means, because if I'm going to play Derek Carr in the Tennessee game, and I'm, you know, it's home and fans, and, you know, they need to be in that building. And
right.
But then you got to play your starting O-line. And they played, you know, a couple of series. Fuaga and Penning played most of the first half. Feel like whenever Carr's in there, you got to have that starting O-line in there. And I don't want to jeopardize anything.
Well, we could jeopardize. Offensive line sucks. What? Ain't no, that's the only thing I say. Now, McCoy, maybe I wouldn't play McCoy. But other than that, I mean, we need a lot of players that have to prove themselves. I mean, I think Cesar Ruiz wanted to build upon what he's done. But, Hoss, we have question marks. Now, I think Fuaga's going to work out. So, you could say for sure 2 out of 5, who's the left guard, who's the right tackle. I mean, I don't know. Y'all got to freaking play. And then if somebody gets hurt, then somebody else come in there. Because it's not like, I mean, you know what I was disappointed in, and Hoss, when I saw this? Like, okay, right tackle. Okay, we want Trevor Penning to work out. Who's against Trevor Penning? No one. I think he's trying hard, but it's not PE class. It's the pros. Either you produce or you don't. And you might say, I even looked at this. Who do we have competing for that job? Like Dennis Allen said, like, okay, look at Landon Young. Oh, okay, he had a worse grade than Trevor Penning in the Cardinals game. And ain't his first rodeo. Now it's a new offense, but he's been around. I wish we had Zach Strief now that we could put out there. Landon Young, Zach had told us like, oh, we think Zach. I think Landon.
You take Andrus Peat at this point.
Andrus Peat would be a stud right now. No, but even Landon Young, that Zach said maybe he could be like me or something, but now, I don't know if he's mean enough. I don't know. So, and then you look at Ali Odu. Then he gets back-to-back penalties. You know what he got going for him? Oh, so I want to say he started 18 or 19 games.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
That's over a season. So that's where I think we're at right tackle. So when I look at, like, are we saving our offensive line for the Carolina game? And like I said, we have the mini bye. Hell no. Those dudes got to play. I don't care if it's Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener, whoever's at quarterback, or Derek Carr. No, the one would be McCoy can't get hurt. We don't need the center.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, to me, if this team is not enormously deep on the offensive line.
No.
Right? So listen, if I got McCoy and Caesar playing, man, that's just because behind them you got Sincere Haynesworth, Tulane, Kyle Hergel, Ali Udo,
who?
Landon Young. I mean, right. And behind that, Tremaine Ankrum, Josiah Ezerum, Jesse Davis. You know what I mean? I'm like, man.
Hoss, you just convinced me if McCoy and Caesar Ruiz, then I play and Carr's not in the game.
Right. No, I just don't. It's not worth it. I mean, no, I can't remember.
Now we're talking about the Titans game. Now I think a series or two for the 49ers.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
I'm saying if Carr's in there, I want the starting five offensive line.
Yeah, who we think could be potentially the starting five, right.
Hoss, I know the refs, you had the referees out there again today, and I know the penalties were an issue, obviously, in the preseason game. How were they at practice? Are we still getting those pre-snap penalties going on?
It was better. I mean, they had 9 overall for 63 yards against Arizona. We were talking to Deuce yesterday on the Saints Hour, and he's like, you know, that needs to be about 5, and that would be strong,
right?
And new offense. It's not just we can't go new offense and there it is. But I mean, again, one play might be Fulaga at left tackle and Hergel at left guard, and then it's completely new people every time. And there's a ton of motion. And this team didn't hardly do any motion. They went from zero, very little movement pre-snap to a lot of movement pre-snap. And whether it's eye candy or not, you got to be disciplined. And so that's where these practices have been. You can, even though it's not the Niners, you can still do that. That's why I feel like Dennis is doing so much game stuff, because they've got to keep working on that. That's a killer, just a killer. 2nd and 3 to 2nd and 8, right? I mean, it's just a gift. And so, man, it's hard though, you're just moving so many people in and out.
Well, Hoss, you talk about motion and how we go about things. Pre-snap motion. Last year, the Saints ranked 26, and the percentage of time and send a man in motion before the snap, only 14% of the time. Well, that's definitely going to change. And if you look at like offenses who you perceive that had a lot of motion last year, I thought this was interesting when I read this. The top 8 offenses by scoring, where they're ranking in pre-snap motion. You look at the Dolphins. They were 2nd overall. They did the pre-snap motion, number 1, the 49ers, the Ravens, the Lions. I think those teams won, right?
They did.
So I think the pre-snap motion and the deception works against top defenses. Now,
if it's impactful, right? If you're just doing it to, eye candy that doesn't do anything, right?
Right.
It's got to be impactful.
Yeah, and how you make it impactful, I think being able to run. And you might say, well, no, Bobby, you can still do it. But how are they going to honor the run? If I'm a linebacker, stud linebacker, and I know the guys can get it up front, get it done, I'm not really worried about the run because I'm not going to get sucked up and then get burned and play action pass. And, the motion or be out of position. So that's why you still got to be able to run. Now, the one area, Hoss, I'm still concerned with, because it was like the same song and dance last year. Now, again, small sample size, only 1 game against the Cardinals. And I said, we got to flip this. I've said this in OTAs. I said this way back in May, June. We got to average 4.5 yards a run and give up 3.5. Well, you know what? Dang it. Do you know in the Cardinals game, it was the exact, basically same stats. And it was a big enough sample size. We ran the ball 29 times, averaged 3.5, and we gave up 4.7, which is 4.5, and 31 rushing attempts. So that, to me, also, if you look at, because Deuce says this too, can you stop the run or can we run the ball? Because we want to be a running team. Even though it's the modern day age, you got to pass the ball. Let me tell you, Coach Kubiak, Clint Kubiak, Shanahan, all they want to run the ball. We want to run the ball. I'm talking about average. Not like we're running the ball and we're averaging 2.8, whatever. So that's one area I was a little disappointed after the Cardinals game, Hoss, how that was kind of like what we did last year. Average 3.5 and gave up 4.5.
Right. And so that's, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's got to change. But as you talked about earlier, they're not game planning, right? So to take
rushing
stats in Arizona and say, it's not Kamara, you know, they're not game planning. So I think everything is you live in the preseason moment, right? You live free San Francisco.
Yeah, because it's tackle football. I don't know. They're finally tackling. So even though they don't know game plan. So, let's see what we do in tackle football. So
right. But then you kind of let it go quickly.
Right, right.
Because of that, you're excited just because you have football to hit somebody else, to tackle somebody, and try to stay as injury-free as possible. And then win, lose, or draw, you let it go, and you come back and fix some of the stuff that you did wrong. Pre-snap penalties, that kind of stuff, that's not mano a mano. You beat me at left tackle or right tackle. That's just us giving it, right? That's this team, I think, would agree, not good enough to be giving teams first downs because of penalties.
And, Hoss, you know what I hate? I can tell you, it drives coaches crazy. Because you know how hard it is to sustain drives? I don't care if it's preseason or regular season. You know what coaches hate? Okay, now it's 1st and 20.
Yeah.
What? 1st and 20.
There's no play for that.
Listen, if you were just saw as a defense, there ain't no way they should get a first down when you got 1st and 20.
Think of the pressure that this is an offense, as you just said, built to run, needs to run, has to run, because if you get 1st and 20 because of a penalty, who's the pressure on? My tackles.
Right.
You got tackles. So the goal is to keep the pressure off the tackles, have a good running game, run to them, and then so they don't have to be in these obvious pass situations.
Mike Hawes, voice of the Saints, appreciate the time. Thank you. And soon enough, my man, you will be back home. We're missing you guys.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Well, so you got Hawes, I'm telling you, it's still hot here, boy.
Okay, fix that before I get back on Monday.
All right.
That was the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes. You can check out his work. Also, Jeff Nowak, Deuce McAllister. All our stuff online at WWL.com. Practice recaps, videos, all on WWL.com, like I said.